If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need BILL. BILL Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With BILL, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using BILL to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how BILL can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to BILL Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by L.A. Finch Fabrics.
Go to LAFinchFabrics.com now, September 1st through September 3rd, to take advantage of their awesome Labor Day sale.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm Zeedee Donahue.
And this is Sewing Out Loud.
Loud, loud, loud.
Yeah, I guess there's a theme song that we don't hear the theme song.
Yeah, we don't get to hear it.
Yeah. Okay, so.
And Mallory's singing that theme song, by the way.
Yep, it's all me. What we're going to talk about today, I think, is going to be pretty interesting to a lot of people.
It will be, because I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
Let's see if I find this interesting.
Our most downloaded episode is when people ask you to sew for them.
Ooh, really?
That's our most downloaded episode.
You know why? Because it's when people get screwed the most.
People got...
And they get irritated the most.
I think
right.
It was our first episode
aggravated.
That we marked explicit.
Oh, is it?
Too. And
imagine that.
I think it got shared. I'm not sure who shared it, but right. Some blog shared it and was like, amen. And we kind of complained.
I think that was also the episode that somebody told us off about really bad. Like, it was like the worst review ever got. Like, told us that we were arrogant, and who do we think not to be able to sew for people?
Zeedee and Mallory don't know that the good things come back twofold. And I was like, what? Where do you live? Like, yeah. I'm like, good for you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, I mean, we...
Hemming pants is such godly work.
Yeah, right, or whatever. it was a little sanctimonious. Yes. But you used to sew for people and enjoy it. That episode was a little bit, you're looking at me like,
No, I did. You're right,
well,
I did.
That episode was more like when someone finds out you sew and then asks you to do something
And they take
for
advantage
free.
Of you. Like, you know,
yes.
Oh, well, if you can sew, you know, you can make my wedding dress that I need next weekend.
Yes. Or,
oh, well, I've got 42 pair of pants. Would you just hem them for me? I know that's not difficult. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When people approach you and expect you to do something for them, and they don't understand it's your time.
And that was where the phrase,
and your skill.
That's where the phrase, I'm not that bitch, was coined.
That's right. I did say that.
And no
that's
one,
how we got explicit, I guess.
No one's been like, I'm glad that I don't think anybody's perceived it this way, that they're like, you think that people who do alterations are stupid. No, that's not what
no,
we think.
No, because I would be one of those people yes. that did alterations for, you know, actually, I did alterations from the time your oldest sister was a baby.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was working as a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was kind of...
Well, don't get ahead.
Okay.
Hold on. Right. I'm going to ask you those questions.
Sure.
But basically, right. what's a little different about this episode is that I want to talk about...
Sewing for people on purpose?
Yes, sewing for people on purpose instead of someone assuming you'll do something for them. And,
correct.
And we have a lot of people in our group who have asked about how to, like,
Start a business, or what should I charge if I have to hem this wedding dress?
Yes.
And charging is a big issue.
It's a big issue in every business.
Right.
I think especially one where lots of women do it.
Yes.
And we're a little undervalued. We undervalue ourselves.
And often it's done out of someone's home.
Uh-huh.
So people think that's a less professional setting or something. You're not a storefront.
Yeah, or whatever. Whatever, it's your spare time.
Right, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. You just do this, you know.
Well, I think people undervaluing themselves in the sewing world, especially in, like, the sewing media world, too. But that's another episode.
And
maybe.
I think you and I know, see that as a woman's problem. Also, specifically, that women tend to society tends to undervalue women.
Yeah, and then they
undervalue themselves. So, and then now sewing has been a... Sorry, everybody that's not like a woman or considers themselves a woman in this conversation. But, you know, as a it was considered sort of a, I'm sure seamstresses made less than tailors. And, you know, that's funny, too, that there was a man word
and a woman word.
Right.
But I do know, you know, Julian is one of our male members of the group who I know has sewn for other people.
Right.
Noah is looking to get into it. To do some things, and so I'd love to...
Well, they're groundbreaking.
Yes. kind of.
Right.
But I'd love to hear from you guys if you are someone who identifies as male or is a male, and you, like, the value that people put on your time.
Or if you think people are willing to pay more to have a man make something for them than a woman. I don't know how we would figure that out.
One last point before we get into the actual topic. But I think this happens. We're from the Midwest. We're in the middle of the country, middle of the United States. It's sort of a conservative place.
Oh my gosh, we're like a hop jump from the Bible Belt.
We are in the Bible Belt. I think we are.
I consider Springfield, Missouri, like dead center Bible Belt. Right.
And not to disparage anyone who is, you know, like a Christian person or anything like that, but I've seen this attitude, this pervasive attitude, towards males being in the arts, or in spaces where they're like, oh, you're a man in choir? That's very strange. Or you're a man in show choir. You're a man in this play. Or
you're a man that knits.
Oh, that's so silly. And yet, okay, so those young men or those men getting into that, they get stigmatized. They get made fun of. They, because maybe someone tries to emasculate them for this hobby. And yet, who are like all the highest paid people in acting?
Right.
In fashion design, in dance, they are all men.
Okay, so let me...
At the top of the tier,
Let me tell you about when I was in nursing school in the 70s, right? And my class... Okay, I went to what was called a diploma school where the hospitals ran these... That's what nursing schools used to be. The hospitals basically ran the schools, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
okay.
We were what was called an experimental class.
Ooh.
We had more people in our class who had degrees already.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We had more men in this class than they had ever let in before. And I believe our class started out with like 115 people. And we had like 10 men.
Uh-huh.
Because before this, it was one man or two. And we were given this sort of lecture by the assistant dean the first day about nursing schools in general, I guess, and our specific school. And we were a leader and, you know, what a great school, you know, we were
in. He was running.
Right. Actually, it was a female.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
she,
it was a female.
Was running.
And,
okay.
But the one thing I remember her saying was, and we have, you know, the 10 men in this class or whatever. And she said, and more men are coming into nursing. And hopefully that will raise...
Oh, the pay.
The pay and the way people consider it a profession.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. So think about it. And I'm sitting there going, what?
I'm not good enough? Yeah.
And she delivered. I mean, she did. I mean, she was just being realistic.
Yeah, that it was a
That
truth
it
at
made
the time.
Us more valid as a profession because men were coming into it. That was the 70s, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 So anyway, let's.
That's and men did get paid more, and they got positions faster than women. They would go up the ladder faster.
So that is our little analysis of some, you know, getting paid to do things and stuff like that. But let's move on. So
oh,
Mom,
is this a sewing? Is this a sewing podcast?
Somebody gonna write a review? It's fine. Do it.
Yeah. Bash me all you want. Yeah. I can take it.
I love it. I love it. In fact, I mean, those people.
See how I am a strong woman.
Those people who go through to write those bad reviews, those mean reviews, that takes a lot of effort to write a review on iTunes.
So waste all your time writing those reviews.
If you want to write a good one, thank you. All right, Mom. So you started sewing when you were real young. There is an episode on like ZD's sewing history if you're curious.
Yeah, sort of my little
her first Scarecrow
sort of
costume.
My bio doc.
Yes. Biopic.
Biopic. That's what it is.
But let's talk about your sewing for other people. So you said you started doing alterations. Now you said I think you did some alterations in college, right?
I did some stuff in college, you know. Just, it, like, happened.
Uh-huh.
I was the only one with the sewing machine.
Uh-huh.
I had, not every sewing machine was a portable sewing machine in those days. This is the early 70s. So, you know, mine was portable. You can go down. We still have
it. Yeah, it weighs a lot.
It weighs 400 pounds. And, you know, you could get it upstairs one step at a time.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I did have my sewing machine because it was now an extension of me.
Yes.
Okay, because now, you know, I've had it for like 6 years or something, or 5 years. So it's an extension of me. And I've made all my clothes through high school and everything.
Right.
You know, and made weird stuff that my mother's like, can you do this? You know. And
you sewed for your family, right?
Yes.
For your mom.
I started sewing for my mother. It was funny because she's the one who didn't want me to, or said, you won't like it. And
right.
Then all of a sudden she's like, can you make me a blouse with a sleeve that's long as my arm? And you know, every year for her birthday, I'd make her a nightgown with long sleeves. And 1 year I made the sleeves too long on purpose. It was a joke. I made them too long on purpose. I mean, I knew how I was going to alter them later.
Right.
But, you know, because she was always, nothing's ever long enough
for my
arm.
Because she was a tall woman.
She was. And if you think you have problems fitting yourself now, you should have been back there, you know, in the 60s. They didn't, you know, there were not things for tall women.
Right.
There might be things for big women and small women, but there were not like tall women.
Right.
And she had these long legs and long arms, which she did not pass to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering where that.
I know.
Where that is.
There was a joke about how, because I look just like my father, that maybe he had a short, stubby woman.
Yeah.
Pregnant at the same time, and they delivered in the same hospital, and the babies
switched,
right?
We are short, stubby people. So doing alterations in college, but then you had a career as a nurse.
Yes, that was my education.
Right.
Right, was always in the medical field.
And you sort of dabbled in alterations, though, throughout nursing?
Yeah, well, the kind of the way that happened was someone was getting married, and their dress got altered horribly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm listening to the story and she's crying, you know, and all this. And I said, well, you know, I think there's a way to fix that. And I don't even remember what it was.
Right.
But I do remember whatever she told me was not what was really wrong. You know, I wound up like taking the zipper out and, you know, whatever, changing the, I think it had like a bat in those days. I mean, think of like Princess Diana's wedding dress. You know, I think it had like a Basque waist and all this.
Oh my gosh,
there was so much fabric. You know, it like filled my car up,
right?
You know, and so anyway, like I fixed her dress, you know, and then all of a sudden somebody was in a wedding and they were a bridesmaid and they needed a hem done, you know,
right?
And I'm doing this all for free, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this is just friends I work, you know, people I've become friends with because I work with them. And then all of a sudden, like, people from under other units come in and go, you know, I have this dress I need hemmed. And I was like, well, I'm, you know.
So these are like all work colleagues, right?
Right.
And you
and I worked in this mega, mega medical complex,
right?
We called it the Mecca, you know. And there's like 2,000 employees, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, bigger than city. It was like a city.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, yeah, people from other areas are coming over and said, oh, I heard you could do this, you know. And I'm like, something has to happen here, you know. So I think at one point I said, you know, I'll hem your dress for $5.
Right.
Just because I was like, I've got a baby at home and, you know, I'm working, you know, and it takes thread and needles and, sure, and whatever. So, and I was not really efficient yet, of course.
Hey, were you still on your necky?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was on my necky.
So, ZD had my oldest sister when she was like 27.
Yeah.
And you got that sewing machine when you were like 12.
13.
So, 13. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted
to. So, I was 15 years old.
Yeah. That's cool. Uh-huh. That's really neat. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
So, you know, then the neighbors found out, you know, somebody wanted like this set of sheets made into curtains to match the bedspread because they couldn't find the curtain, you know, and all of a sudden I'm making like curtains for the neighbors. And then the neighbor's mother, you know, doesn't like the person who hems her skirts and all this. So I'm working and I have a family and now I'm pregnant too. And, you know, my husband's in school and working and I'm taking on these alterations, but I started charging.
Yes.
You know, I mean, in fact, I started to have a list even.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, hemming a skirt was $5, simple skirt was $5 or something like that, you know. I would bid out things like draperies or curtains or right, something like that, you know. But, yeah, so that's sort of how those were my first. And in college, what I did, because I was the only one with the machine, is I wound up hemming a lot of jeans.
Uh-huh.
And the other big thing was putting those godets
in the leg.
Right, because, you know, and it was flower power.
Right.
And I sometimes made a patch and put it on somebody's butt, and it was a flower. That was big, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's about all I did, like, in college. I didn't do anything extensive other than when I sewed for myself or something.
Let's pause for a message break. And when we come back, we're going to fast forward a little bit to moved from St. Louis to Columbia.
Right.
And how things changed a little bit for your alterations, you
for
know,
just
business.
Sewing in general, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Your whole sewing journey. Okay. We'll be right back. Okay, Mom, I'm really excited about this week's sponsor. Tell everyone who it is.
L.A. Finch Fabrics.
That's right. L.A. Finch Fabrics is based in L.A., and Josie runs a fabulous company where they get designer ends, and they make sure to stock very high-quality knit and woven fashion fabrics. And what's your favorite thing about L.A. Finch, Mom?
Their efficiency. I order something, and I can't even stop thinking about it, and it's here. It's
That's
like,
right.
You know, I'm like, oh, it came.
Yeah, and we live out in the middle of nowhere.
Right,
so,
isn't that the truth?
So LA Finch Fabrics is having a killer Labor Day weekend sale today, September 1st through September 3rd. So you need to go to lafinchfabrics.com and check out the sale prices on things like double brush poly, Liverpool knits, etc. I think she's got some cool gifts and giveaways.
Oh, all right.
And we'll be posting some pictures of fabrics that we've been using. Mom's got those shimmery green leggings.
That's right. Mallory's got me on the paddleboard in them.
Yes. And I've got my mushroom double brush poly little sleep set that I made too that is just so glorious to be in. So check out lafinchfabrics.com. And make sure to get there before September 3rd.
So right. You can... So that sale is Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes. And this episode comes out on a Friday.
That's
so
right.
You need to get there. Okay. So go to lafinchfabrics.com and you will be amazed just like we are. Thanks, LA Finch Fabrics.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. So you had Hillary, mm-hmm. you had Lindsay working as a nurse, mm-hmm. and then we moved to Columbia. I'm born.
You're born. There's a big space in time, space. And then she's born, and I was single for a while.
Yep, and then we moved to Columbia, mm-hmm. And we have a new home.
Uh-huh.
We have a new male figure, Jerry, my dad, you know, and he's a contractor.
Right. Right. Well, and yes, and we're building onto this house.
Yes, building onto this house.
And I become the contractor. So I don't go right to work.
You don't go right back into nursing is what I want to kind of bring up. Yeah. Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, as a critical care nurse, I'm like critically taking care of getting this house put together for this new family that we're blending.
Right.
In a new city. You know.
And Jerry's all like, let's build on some new bedrooms.
Well, yes. And it was kind of funny because there was, you know, this building supply place that I kept going to. And I would go to the contractor's desk because, of course, we had a contractor's. And I didn't go one time for like 3 days. And then I went back and they thought, oh, we thought maybe you were sick or something. Because I was there like every day, whether it was buying doorknobs or, you know, insulation or whatever it was. I was, you know, resourcing or buying something or picking something up or whatever. So when you say we built our house, I mean, we truly built it. We had some people that we subcontracted to work with us. But I swear, every piece of insulation in those garages, I put up myself. I can insulate anything. But anyway, so I'm trying it. This time I don't have a sewing machine out because there's drywall dust constantly someplace. And I finally get my sewing machine out after like 5 months. Yeah, I was having withdrawals. It was horrible. And I actually, I needed a belt for my sewing machine.
Uh-huh.
And I went looking for one. And that's sort of how I fell into the dealership that you know, I started using here.
Right, right.
And I knew I was going to buy a new sewing machine,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to buy one in St. Louis. I wanted to buy one where I lived.
Right.
So I was waiting, you know, till we settled in and I would buy my new sewing machine here.
So you started working for the dealership part-time
Part of what happened is I remember going in and saying, oh, I'm going over to the university to put in my application. And the owner of the store said, do you have to do that? And I was like, well, I should probably make some money. You know, I haven't made any money for like a year or whatever. And she's like, and I said, why? And she goes, I think there's something we could work out for you here.
Uh-huh.
So that's what started that.
And for locals, for people who know us, that's Dietra that Zita's talking about.
That's when Dietra started to ruin my life. No.
Yes, that's right. She roped you in, right?
That's right, right. And I was like, what do you mean? It was very enticing to me.
Yeah.
You know.
To work in that environment.
Well, just to see what it would be like, even.
Well, and that was a sewing machine store, dealership, da-da-da. And we're gonna skip forward a little bit, mm-hmm. because you worked there for a while.
I think I worked there almost 5 years.
And then you did...
Basically selling sewing machines.
Right, selling sewing machines. But then you did not work there for a while did alterations, right?
Right. Now, I always taught there.
Sure, okay.
I always taught classes. Right. And so, actually what I did is I went back into nursing for a while.
Uh-huh.
And nursing here was different than nursing in my big university complex that I was used to, uh-huh. right? Didn't really like it very much. And, of course, I was kind of... doing alterations all along kind of for some people. And I decided I'm going to take this serious and I'm going to do some alterations.
So
or actually couture
yeah,
work.
You started to do custom gowns.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit. I just want to focus on like when you used to have clients mm-hmm. out to the house.
Right.
And how that worked.
Right.
So how would people find you? Because that's a question we get.
I was in the country.
Yeah.
People did not have GPSs.
Right.
Right. I actually had a 3x5 card that had directions specifically on it that I had by my phone that I could tell them, you know.
Right.
2 miles here, 1 mile here.
I remember that card.
And I also gave that out to people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No Facebook page, no website. But I painted the mailbox bright purple. Okay, like shocking purple. And, you know, I think it was even kind of metallic purple. And we have a pretty big mailbox. We're out, you know, we're a rural route.
Right.
And I would say, you'll know when you turn and you'll see the big purple mailbox. And, you know, that's the driveway you want to come down.
But how did clients find out about you, I guess? That's what I meant.
I did have a reputation.
Yes.
You know, a lot of it was by word of mouth. In fact, most of it. The other thing I did is I had sort of incentive things.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if you came to me with your wedding dress to have it hemmed or whatever, I gave you a card that, you know, if your friend came to me for their wedding dress to be hemmed, they got a free steaming. I had some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long that I had more work than I could possibly handle.
Well, and you know, something we left out, which might be another great podcast to do, is you did costumes at
That's true too.
High school.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I was doing costumes at the local professional.
Right.
The Summer Stock Theater. I had done costumes at the high school. I had done some costumes for Missouri Theater. I was their backup person that when a troupe came in and something was wrong, I would fix
so
the costumes.
ZD.
So I was out there.
ZD has this name that's really unique. And
yes.
When I would tell people, like someone in that community, like my mom is ZD, they're like, oh, okay.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, so you were really kind of with that whole.
I was sewing for Miss Gay Missouri.
Yeah, there you go.
But drag with sewing.
With some of that work, like especially at the high school, not getting paid a lot for that, it was almost like lead generation.
Yes, I mean,
because those girls would then come to you for their prom dress.
I guess when I said I had a reputation, that's where the reputation happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
When people would come out to the house, tell people about where you would fit people.
Okay.
And yes. Do stuff like that.
And I was very careful about this to make it. Or, you know, as professional as possible, even though it was in my home. At this point in time, I had a bedroom that no one slept in. And I cleared it out and filled it full of mirrors. And that became the fitting room. So this was what, like a 10 by 12 room.
Yeah.
With the only thing that was in it were mirrors and a couple chairs.
Right.
And it was right inside of my front living room door. So I could have people come in the front door. They could sit in my living room. There was a bathroom right off of the living room. And this room was right there.
Right.
So they weren't walking through my house. They did not see my studio.
Right.
Ever. I wasn't going to let them. I didn't want them to see somebody else's wedding dress upside down and inside out. You know, in the middle of the table.
Right.
You know, I mean, what you do to those wedding dresses, those girls would probably die. You know, they don't know you're wearing them on your head when you're fixing them.
Right.
And all that. So, and I had a price list. One thing that I did not do in the beginning, obviously all of these things, you know, I altered my way of business too.
Yeah.
As I went along, for instance, we had two huge German Shepherds.
Yeah.
And I had a dog pen that I put them in when I knew someone was coming. I had appointment times that I decided.
Uh-huh.
I used to let anybody tell me what was convenient for them. And then I got smarter and said, I do appointments, you know, Monday during the day. Tuesday might have been a phone day. But I had the schedule. Like
right.
Monday was appointment day. Appointment or fitting day. Tuesday, I did not answer my phone all day. I let the phone ring and so I could work.
Uh-huh.
Because if I kept answering the phone, I would have never been able to work. And I'm working by myself.
Right, right.
And, you know, Wednesday was an appointment day. Thursday evening was my evening day. You know, I had an after work day. Yes. And then
hours.
I did, I think it was Sunday afternoon was my one weekend day that I did. But otherwise, I was going back and forth, or I never had, you know, I found out that it was running in circles by, you know, oh, fitting this person, and then going up and trying to sew, and then fitting this, and then this, and then answering the phone, and then this or that. So that I got really good about.
It's like productivity hacks and from 2002
right.
or whatever.
Right. And if they, yeah. And if they didn't like those appointment times, then they needed to find someone else.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess I was in demand. I had no trouble filling up, you know, the appointment times.
So you would do alterations for people, but you'd also do custom sewing.
Right.
So I think it's important.
Why did I do both?
Well, I think it's important, too, to talk about how you learned not to do a custom sewing consult for free.
Yeah, that was a big thing. I want you to make my prom dress. I can't find it any place, you know, on the phone. Okay, they have a lot of misconceptions.
Right.
First of all, they think they're going to get a prom dress for $50.
Yes.
That includes the fabric, and you may, and this is, you know, 15, 20 years ago. They'll take up your time. They'll bring you pictures that are, I want my dress to look like this with this element, with this element, with this element. And, you know, they're not even dresses that are alike. Like,
right.
You know, maybe one cut on the bias and the other one, you know, I mean, it's like, well, this doesn't, you know.
This will not work together. This,
right. And it's, and they're not giving you a picture of what they want. They're telling you what they want. And people's mental pictures are different than, you know, everyone's mental picture is probably different.
Right, right.
So anyway, I learned to say my consult fee is $50. So right there, that eliminated a lot of crap.
Boom, yeah.
What do you mean? My dress is going to cost me more than $50 to get my dress made?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it is, sweetheart.
Yes.
You know, it's going to cost you a lot more. I would say my consult fee is $50. I will spend, you know, up to an hour with you, and we will decide if I'm going to make your dress or not. And if I do, that will go towards, you know, the fee I quote you on making the dress.
Right. Quite reasonable.
And I
did
have other quotes I could give them on the phone. For instance, I think I never made a bridesmaid's dress for, I think, yeah, it started out like at $80, and it finally it was like $120 or something like
right.
that.
Right. So you had some minimum.
I had some minimums. A wedding dress started at, I think, $400 or $500.
Uh-huh.
And that was a very plain dress, you know. Now, some people would come in and want a wedding dress that truly wasn't a wedding dress.
Sure.
You know, they were wanting some, but so some people would come in, and what they really wanted was, you know, a nice tea-length dress that maybe had a lining, or maybe not.
Yeah.
And I would say, well, I'm not considering, you know, this won't be a 400, you know, this dress is going to cost probably $200.
Or it could be closer to that, like, bridesmaid's dress price or something,
right,
maybe.
Right,
yeah.
So, you know, depending, you know, I had my concept of what I thought
I
would. And it also, you know, you have to think about how many fittings you're going to do on these things. Are you making a muslin or not?
Yeah.
You know, all those things.
I think that for our people who are asking about sewing for other people and stuff, a big key to, and I did this with embroidery, and you taught me this.
Yeah, you did embroidery.
Deitra taught me this, too, is to have minimums.
You have to have a minimum.
Because that will, it'll weed out people. You don't want everybody.
You don't want the business. You do not want the people that are not willing to pay.
Right.
It's too much trouble. It's too much hassle.
You're gonna
go down in smoke.
You wouldn't want somebody to come up to you and like take money out of your wallet,
right?
Right, and that's what they're doing.
They're costing you money
because your time is money,
right?
And you know,
and it's not fair to the people that are willing to pay.
No. So I think that those minimums are great, and I just have to say, so Zidi, I think it was really cool for you to talk about like the fitting room, and we can't really. The fitting room has like a bed in it now. It's a guest room.
Right.
You know, I don't know if we have any pictures from that time.
Oh, I don't know either.
But somebody, when we were closing our retail store, this lady came in, and I think I know who she is. She was one of your clients who was kind of nutso. And she told me all about how Zidi used to have her out to her house.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. She was like, you know, Zidi used to have me out to her house. I've been to her house several times, and I was just like, that's really special.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you one of the hazards is when people know where you live, they can show up at any time.
Yeah, they can.
And that has happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to, you know, I've been like out doing something in my garden or something, and somebody rolls up my driveway and, oh, I just thought maybe I could catch you here. And you have to say, that is something GTFO, I cannot do right no. now. I have other commitments. If your commitment is you're going to take a bath, right. that's your other commitment. You have to control these people.
Right. So the amount of fittings, that might be another thing. And so a few of you who have talked about starting to do these things, if you're going to hem a pair of pants, mm-hmm. you meet the person, yes. you mark the hem,
right.
you hem the pants,
yes.
and then it would be preferable if they would try them on
before they leave.
Before yes, leaving
absolutely.
With them. Okay. But.
And.
Uh-huh.
They have 2 weeks to bring them back.
Okay.
I have, you know, I need the skirt altered. So you alter the skirt, which may say you're taking it in or letting it out or something. And they call you a year later and they tell you the skirt's too tight.
Yeah.
Well, what have you eaten since yeah. I fixed it? You know, I mean, you have to have all of these limits. You have to have these little policies that you hand to people.
That 2 week thing is in a way it's being generous, but it's also
absolutely generous.
A limit.
But what I'm saying is right. you can't. And I, one of my horror stories. Do you want to hear a horror story?
Yeah.
Is this woman was going to her son's destination wedding.
Uh huh.
And she wanted me to make her this dupioni. It was like a, you know, a pantsuit outfit. Yeah, you know, it was a tunic with the pants and, you know, very plain, except it's out of this dupioni silk, you mm-hmm. know, whatever. Make a muslin. She likes it. I make the silk. You know, I make basically, I would baste seams and try them on a
yeah.
lot of times.
Yeah.
Especially if I was, you know, and I said to her, I feel like this is too tight.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let it out some. And she said, oh, no, I don't, you know, I don't want it. This is how I want it. I want it like this. And I said, okay. You know, I thought if she wants, I even said, you look a little sausagey in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I was very truthful with her.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, that's okay if that's what you want. And then she left and went on a cruise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she came back and she could not get the top on.
Right.
It was obvious to me when she walked through the door before she tried it on. I thought this woman's gained weight. I could see
right.
it like in her face. You know, I think she must have just been grazing at that cruise
sure.
the whole time. And I wasn't very strong then or whatever. I wound up buying more dupioni silk and making this lady a second pantsuit, basically.
Well,
you know,
and that's all very delicate to talk about.
It's very delicate.
Too.
And I mean, she swore she didn't gain. I even said, I think you've gained some weight.
Uh-huh.
Because she had.
Right.
I mean, it was just the truth. You know, I remeasured her and showed her the difference.
The measurements.
Yes. And she swore I measured her wrong.
Yeah.
And of course, guess when her son's wedding is? It's like 6 days from then.
Right.
You know, I barely have time to make it.
Right.
Which cuts into what I've already scheduled. You know, so, you know, you can screw yourself and you can let people screw you. It's a little bit of both.
Mistakes happen. You know,
sometimes something happens.
You can't ever avoid completely things like that.
I had this bride who said, I had made her dress and she said, could you possibly alter my girlfriend's skirt? You know, we bought this at David's Bridal. Can you, you know, I think just the skirt needs to be taken up, right?
Right.
And she comes, and her bridesmaid is a little person.
Uh-huh.
I remade the skirt.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, they didn't get it.
They didn't understand. That's
no,
such a severe difference.
No, but, like, and she didn't say to me, oh, by the way, she's
a little
4 foot two or whatever
right.
she was. I mean, she was shorter than me. That's little, you know.
Yeah.
But, no, she was definitely smaller than me. And I even, it was like a skirt and a top, and I even wound up doing something. But you can't just hem that.
No.
You know, she needed some of the volume that was on the bottom and all this, so,
and that's
you know.
What people don't understand about alterations
right.
a lot of time. I remember actually taking on an alteration that I thought I could do that I needed your help with because this man came in and he wanted cuffs. He wanted his pants hemmed and he wanted them to be cuffs.
Yeah.
And I think this man was not a little person, but he had his legs were so short.
Yeah.
so short.
Well, I kind of know how that is. Yeah.
We started to take up the cup, the mark up the pants, and you were like, we have to reshape these pants.
Yes.
It's
yeah,
so
right.
much
because
needed
it,
to come
maybe
off
it was
of them.
At the taper yes. or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, it was just so much fabric had to come off of them. But yeah, that's. You, when you're an alterations person, you're not only the person with the sewing machine, but you're kind of the person who can anticipate these problems, right?
Right, and the
or challenges.
You know, it's a big job.
Yeah,
it's a big job. It's a big job not to get screw yourself over. You know, you're handling the money. You're
yes.
handling your time. Here's another thing: if you're working out of your home, you have to handle your family.
Yep.
And my husband would call me up. And I would be in my studio,
uh-huh.
right where we're sitting right now. And he'd say, you know, could you go out to the, you know, the boat garage? And, you know, I think there's blah, blah, blah hanging on the wall. I need to know if I have three or four. I need to go buy one or what. And I think he doesn't get it. You know, not
yeah.
only does it take me the 10 minutes to go look, but then I have to come back and figure out where I was,
right.
what I was doing. You know, so you can get taken advantage of.
Well, a lot of people are working out of their homes nowadays, too, in
right.
sort of this, like, digital capacity.
That's right. And I think that they probably, you know, have to make their space and make, you know, the space you make is not only physical, but it's making a space in that time. I'm truly working, everyone.
Right.
I'm not home, so I can, you know, do your laundry because you didn't do it.
Right.
You know, or now things happen. Kids get sick or so.
Well,
and that is an advantage to it.
Yes.
Because you
yes.
can, and, you know, there were times where I was working at 3:00 in the morning because I took a day off.
Yeah.
That I, you know, that I should have been working.
So I just want to conclude this a little bit with custom work and the amount of fittings
right.
that it could take. How did you gauge that? Like if someone said, Sarah, wasn't her wedding dress the one that was like the medieval silver?
Hers was silver. What was it like? And then I wound up making his vest too. I did a lot of medieval weddings.
Yeah, a lot of people,
because,
I remember that
you know,
too.
People couldn't get
people
these
couldn't
things.
Find that
you
stuff,
know, they
yeah.
wanted the corset. They uh-huh. wanted this. Or they wanted a red wedding dress.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
that was not uncommon that they wanted a red wedding dress or a black wedding dress. You know.
And this is before Etsy too, guys. Like this is.
Yeah, no, this you, is the yeah. internet. We were on dial-up, guys.
Right, right.
You know, everybody was on dial-up.
Yes.
We had like one email address for the entire family, I believe,
right.
or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, no, when I always tell people when I'm writing in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe Facebook page, when they go, blah, 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 and I'm like, I had to look that up in the library. I had to check that book out and take it home or
right.
put it on reserve. You know, I was like, I mean, you know, I read books about making hats. You
right.
know, I mean, I couldn't go on and see a video. I had to, you know, figure that out, you know, from the library. But, yeah, I made a lot of those types of wedding dresses, I guess. And a lot of them, yeah, were corseted and this.
So how did you gauge how many fittings and did you ever, like, underestimate?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? Yeah.
I absolutely yeah. underestimated. Uh-huh. I mean, especially in the beginning. You know, with a wedding dress, that there's a minimum of 4 fittings, probably.
Okay.
You know, and one of them that you might leave out, which is what I did, was I've got the dress done and everything, but I've still got to mark the bustle, so I have to have it on the person,
right?
To be able to bustle it, mm-hmm. You know, and decide, and that shouldn't seem like a lengthy fitting, but for the bride, it seems to be. It's not for you because, and sometimes I'd make a mistake and say, it can be bustled these 3 ways.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would tell them, especially with the big dresses, this is the best way to do it. We're not doing it any other way, you know, because I don't want you on the dance floor and your dress falling down.
One of the
and
biggest
getting
mistakes
mad at me.
You can make in any profession is saying to someone, it can be done 3 ways.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So, but I usually would show them like uh-huh. like 2 choices. So, you know, they're admiring themselves.
Sure.
They come in and they finally got the
it's
dress of their dreams and they're like,
right?
Oh, and oh, you just hope their mother doesn't come with them. You know, or their mother-in-law or you know, when they come with a troop of people, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and what I noticed was a lot of times they would start out with two or three people and they would realize they were better off with just me.
Just, yeah.
Right, because they were going to get what they wanted, you know. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the people were very supportive.
Sure,
you know, and said, oh, you know, well, you know, you can do this or you can do that. I did a lot of commitment ceremonies, like same sex, because they might want something that coordinated, or one person might wear a dress and one person might wear a suit, or they wanted two suits that coordinate, or their vest to coordinate, or something like that.
And the garments weren't quite available.
Yeah, but... or what they had in mind wasn't available.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So that seemed to be a lot of the custom sewing.
You know, this is all very interesting, because you're doing this in the middle of Missouri.
Right.
Pre-internet.
Right.
Pre-internet necessarily, but custom.
It was dial-up time.
Yeah, custom. No Etsy, no platforms like that.
Right.
Pre-legalization.
Oh,
of
absolutely.
Same-sex marriage.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I do remember quite a few of those medieval wedding dresses.
I know there's some pictures that we have, printed pictures, not on our phone, because we had little flip phones, but we can show. I know one that I have. Liz in somebody else's dress.
I don't know
if that girl will see Liz. But I think it was white and black, or black and white. Uh-huh. You know, I, for some reason that sticks in my mind. Maybe it's not, but I...
I mean, I guess custom sewing work, when you think about it, is maybe even more common now. Like, people wanting... Or people doing it. What do you think?
I don't know. Or do we just think that because that's a business we're in?
Well,
I don't know.
I wonder if it's just like more possible. Like if somebody
that's true.
I want a red wedding dress, and then they didn't like know who to go to. They just go to a bridal store.
Or a red wedding dress is more acceptable. Or it's more common. I mean, your dress, remember?
Yeah, the ugliest dress that lady ever saw. Right?
You know, Mallory's wedding dress didn't per se look like a wedding dress, but you had worn gowns.
Sure.
You had been in gowns all your life almost because of performing. So I don't think you had the idea of the big Cinderella dress or something.
Well, and just so you all know, one kind of hunk of time we left out was when Ziti owned a gown shop.
Yeah, I owned a bridal store
for a year. She did do alterations there, but we won't get into that. But anyway,
be on AMA.
Yeah,
when you guys ask me,
ask me anything. I think that we've given some insight.
Well, and another thing is sewing for the drag,
drag community.
Right. You know, I think that's much easier now.
Well, there's
much
shows
easier
about it now.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, well, and, you know, Athena was, how tall was she in her heels?
This is really funny.
Because
Mom costumes Athena, and Athena wins Miss Gay Missouri that year, right?
Yes, she won that year. Uh-huh.
Okay, turns out, fast forward, I can't remember what year that was, but I marry this guy from Macon, Missouri.
Right, small town.
Okay, so it turns out Athena had gone to prom with my husband's
sister.
Because she was from Macon, too.
Yeah.
You know? So
the hard thing about Athena, I always find...
But Athena worked in a fabric store, didn't...
Well, no. At that time, Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
When he was Jeff. Well, right. he's Jeff and Athena parallel.
Sure.
He's in a parallel universe. He performs as Athena.
Yeah, Athena is his
well,
drag
yeah,
persona.
And I mean, he will also dress as Athena and go to. We remember when we saw him at Dancing at the Stars, he was dressed as Athena.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
But he's 6'4" without his heels.
Without
his heels. And I'm 5 foot nothing. So he would put on his heels, and I'm trying to make this white tuxedo and make him look
and
like Celine Dion. It was just hysterical. Yeah, it was hysterical. Like his belt, you know. Level was like the top of my head or something, you know, and we used to laugh.
I think we
have a picture of him.
Definitely someone.
Well, there's a bunch on the internet.
I think it's right over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what we'll put up for the featured image for this podcast, I think.
And he actually now, he started working in an alterations store.
Uh-huh.
And he became the manager and all this, but actually he now as Jeff works at Saks Fifth Avenue in St. Louis as a stylist.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. He just got that job. It's real exciting. He just moved to St. Louis. Like, he was here for Gay Pride Week last week and finally got all of his stuff out of his apartment and has truly moved.
Well, that is a community, too, the drag community, where a lot of... is it's become more and more visible,
well,
of course.
Well, I remember things and like jewelry being hard for...
Yeah.
Because they want the exaggerated jewelry, and now it's so easy to find.
It's so easy to find. Right. And a lot of those queens, though, they do sew their own stuff.
They do. They yeah. Or they learn.
They learn.
Yes, they learn. And they do a lot of shopping on the internet for things that they alter or transform.
Right.
There's a big community of that going on.
Have you watched
RuPaul's? And I've taught Jeff a lot of those
kind of techniques.
Yeah,
and
what
stuff
to do, right.
Have you watched RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drag Race?
Is that... Is it called Race?
Yeah, Drag Race. Like a drag race.
Yeah,
like
I know. I guess it is.
RuPaul.
Okay.
I hadn't watched it. I'd followed on Facebook forever. And now we have fast internet, so I can watch whatever I want all the time.
We're so excited.
And I was just, like, looking at the costumes and looking at this, and I'm like, okay, if you, I would say 90% of the people in our group are cisgendered women just trying to, like, wear what they perceive as, quote, like, normal clothes and coming up against challenges.
Sort of the traditional... things going on.
And I'm like, if you watch RuPaul's Drag Race and you see the transformations those people go through and how they cut enough fabric or the right amount of fabric in the right places to fit them and make them look like Lady Gaga,
right.
All of a sudden, guys, you can make anything to fit as long as
measure correctly. Yeah, we had all the padding.
And
Athena, does Celine Dion.
Yes.
And, what was I going to say? Darn it!
Something about the padding and the shaping.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to shape all this stuff and make all this stuff, and there's undergarments.
If those queens can transform like that, now of course not everybody's going to wake up every day and pad their chest and their hips and da 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 da. But I'm just saying. Like, you just need the right amount of fabric in the right places.
That's
right.
Well, and then the other thing that I'm trying to think if that was the third year he won, Miss Missouri and
it's Miss Gay Missouri. Or
yeah, but he won the whole.
He won the big one,
USA.
Okay.
Miss Gay USA or whatever it was. And they also had, like, their talent portion. And I don't know what their talent portion was. I should have went to these things. I never did. But it was always something very bizarre that, like, we had to make a garment that had hula hoops in it.
Oh, yeah.
That
oh,
flipped
yeah.
upside down and, and he would have these ideas. And they were always very extravagant. So you learn a lot doing that stuff.
Costuming in particular. Okay, well, and costuming can be a separate podcast, too. And this podcast is going to be, like, 45 minutes long.
But it was fun.
But it was a lot of fun.
But it's fun for us. We hope it's fun for you.
I think sometimes people like these episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for listening all the way through if you've made it to the end. And you all can get a hold of me for a little while. Mallory@sewyear.com is my email address. Last time I had a baby, I was checking the emails. You can do it on your phone in the middle of the night. After you nurse your baby and you can't sleep, right? So you can get a hold of me at Mallory@sewhere.com. You can follow us on Instagram or ZD Sewing Studio. And, of course, join the Self-Sewn Wardrobe Facebook group by searching for the Self-Sewn Wardrobe. And you'll find us and request to join, answer the questions, and I'll approve you. Okay, well, thanks for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.